Hi everyone, Sylvain Chamberlain here, your teacher, your partner, your co-sangha member of our shared research into the scholarship of Buddhism, more specifically the entire breadth of Buddhism, culminating with Bodhisattva Nichiren and his elucidation of that process and its ultimate manifestation, incarnation, ultimate teaching, its original goal manifest in the ultimate teaching of the Lotus Sutra. And on that note, a quick introduction. I've had this information on my website for decades, threefoldlotus.com, on the study page, the course study materials. I have a link near the top of the page, some little button that says Gohonzon Map or Gohonzon Personages. Not exactly sure which. Anyway, that will take you to a rather long HTML page that will have on it a picture of the Gohonzon that we use, and beneath it a shute or teaching Gohonzon that has all the various characters on the Gohonzon identified numerically. I'll just give you a quick look. So there's the Shute Gohonzon, and on the page following it, you can see the numeric equivalents of the numbers above the characters there that will identify each and every personages or characters or concepts. And then the rest of the book, thanks to lots of scholarship by many people, a lot of this assembled by Michael McCormick. I believe he teaches out of San Francisco. And an incredibly thorough bibliography at the back for further research. It actually spans a couple of pages here. Anyway, page-turning karma. I'm making this available in print form just because of the number of requests I get for or related to this very subject of what's going on. You say that you hear all the time that this mandala of the Gohonzon contains within it the entire scholarship of Buddhism. And it does so by containing all of the main personages of the stories, of the expedient means contained within the Lotus Sutra, which by extension contains all the teachings before it. So what is that? Conceptually, that's okay, I get that. But what are each of those characters? How does it break down? Well, you know, for some people that doesn't matter. They just need to know that the mandala represents the entirety of Buddhist scholarship. And with that, they can take the name of Myoho Renge Kyo, which is the invocation of all of this, as their practice, and they're secure in that, and they go forward. But for some of us who are more analytical or whatever term you want to use, who simply, well, I admit, I like to research things. I like to know things to the degree that I remove every little splinter of doubt that might arise in my brain from time to time. Maybe I'm just stubborn. But for those of you who are like me, or somewhat like me, or you're all like yourselves, of course, but who need that nth degree of information, that's what this is for. And I'm super thankful for all of the scholarship that's gone into creating such a document. I'm just another assembler. This is ancient information, so I claim no... where's my beverage? I claim no authority to it, other than this has been well-researched, certainly by me and those in who I credit in this book, for within the scholarship of the, you're not gonna, any stories you read in this are from the teachings. I, as you know, I'm a rather unorthodox, if you will, teacher, or I hate to call myself a teacher because I'm just sharing with you these teachings, these documents, this scholarship. But my method is to deeply respect the scholarship, but to reinvigorate it really for modern language, modern thinking, modern conceptual experience of life. Because after all, that's what Buddhism is about, is taking our experience of life and cleansing it of obstacles and misunderstandings and bolstering and digging deeply into its fundamental values and its preciousness. And since we use this weird thing called language to wrap our minds around that, the language that we use is quite important in our understanding. So my method of sharing these teachings, my bodhisattva practice, if you will, is to present this precious information, these insights, through certainly my own lens, but the lens that I share with my fellow, the Sangha, of how to inculcate this thinking and this insight into our daily lives, outside of the expedient means of centuries and centuries of scholarship. We have our own expedient means, which means our own frame of reference for these same truths and teachings. So this is what I'm after, and it's, I haven't found that anywhere else, and this is why I took on the mantle myself, for myself, and thinking there's got to be more than people who, like me, would like, instead of trying to struggle through interpreting other stories and what they mean, to just put it in our terms, in terms that are relevant in our daily lives. Again, this is what Buddhism is about, how we live our daily life. And so to take these teachings and make them function within the sphere that we know, I think is very empowering. It's very supportive. I tend to remove the mysticism that tends to crawl in, you know, where we take things on, you know, the merit of others. We need to build our own merit. We need to have our own insight. And this has been the goal from the start, from when Siddhartha was first starting to do this, that we should all be able to get this with our own insights in our own lives, in this moment, in this lifetime, right? Because Buddha, our Buddha state, is here. It's not something that it was invented with Siddhartha. It was just that he was the first to come clear to it, to awaken to it, to experience it fully, and maintain his experience of it. That's our goal, is not only to find it, but to hang on to it, right? So we need to speak in common terms that we understand. Anyway, that's the purpose for putting this in print. It should be, it's going through approval right now on lulu.com. It may be available actually on lulu.com right now at lulu.com/Kwoon, K-W-O-O-N, K-W-O-O-N, Chinese word meaning place of, sacred place of practice and study. It's a school. I'm suffering from that dry mouth problem. At any rate, now it will be approved for publishing more broadly. So as soon as they're done checking it out, making sure it's ready to publish, follows all the rules, Then it'll be able it'll be available on Amazon and all over the place. But I think right now you can just go to lulu.com/croon and get yourself a copy of it. If certainly as a research tool, as a sharing of further scholarship, modern scholarship, on your practice as a tool to help your understanding and your depth of insight into what we're doing here. I just put out a video on why we chant and why the Gohonzon or the mandala and what that's the value of that. Why do we do it? Why is it an essential part of our practice? So all those kinds of videos kind of inspire me to document some of these things more scholastically, if you will. But at any rate, that's enough on that. I just as a resource, again, you can just go and it's available free online on threefoldlotus.com. So with that said, we're going to continue with this letter that Nichiren wrote to one of his head disciples, one of his very educated and skillful disciple, who is going to act as some of the others in his inner circle are starting to take over Nichiren's responsibilities with respect to the many debates and meetings. Not that Nichiren won't do any, but this letter, just as a further context, was written well after Nichiren had sent his Rishwan Kokuron, his remonstration to the government, trying to straighten them out. Because in Nichiren's day, Japan was going through many, many struggles, from famine to earthquakes to invasion by Mongol forces and others. And the shogunate was struggling to maintain its control over the land and the people of Japan and the security of their country. And so Nichiren is taking the opportunity to point out that if they weren't misled, or didn't practice or adhere to or support, and that's an important aspect of this, these erroneous schools, and being misled by them as to what needed to be done in order to secure the country and the people and the land and so forth, then they wouldn't be experiencing such suffering, such consequences. Tying the consequences of the miseries happening in Japan to their mistaken thoughts, philosophies, ideals, and showing them that if they practiced Buddhism correctly, and they governed through the lens of the ideology within Buddhism correctly, that a lot of these disasters would cease to appear, and that the people would be happier, that Japan would be more secure, on so forth and so on. So I bring all of that up because at this point in this letter, we're going to enter a discussion from Nichiren on some specific issues resulting from that remonstration. That is it, Samibo? I always forget how to say his name. What was his name? Prisoya. That's not it. Good old page turning. Samibo. Yeah. Okay. So he's preparing him to enter a debate, a public debate. So these debates were very important in the history of Buddhism because they didn't just happen in a closed room where the intellectuals all battled out what they were going to put out as an official word to the populace. They battled this out, really, to demonstrate the superiority or inferiority of a certain scholarship in front of the public witnesses, so that the word of the superiority or inferiority of whatever teaching was being debated would spread throughout the people much faster. They didn't have newspapers or news channels or CNN or whatever to carry that information. So they did these in a very public manner so that the information would be dispersed rather quickly, as efficiently as it could. So you can imagine that the participants of the debate had to be aware of how scrutinized they were being at that moment. They couldn't manipulate the information of the debate in order to ameliorate their standing afterward. It was contemporaneous. Their judges were right there in the crowd, right? So Nichiren is preparing Samibo to enter one of these debates, and he's predicting certain questions and certain charges will be made for Samibo to answer to. So he's prepping him with some of the things that he's heard, read, experienced himself, so on and so forth. So here we go. In his appeal to the Lord Hokoji, Ryokan of the precept school stated as follows. So again, Ryokan is one of those leaders of a school that Nichiren has challenged and debunked. So Ryokan, in his turn, would write his own letter to the ruling clan and try to defend himself, right? So expect to hear a question of these natures, right? Quote, of late I, Ryokan, Nisho, have been most vexed by the priest called Nichiren, who proclaims that those observing the precepts are destined to fall into hell. What sutra or treatise states such a thing? This is the first question. Moreover, though there is scarcely anyone in Japan today, whether of high or low rank, who does not chant the Nembutsu, right? Amitabha, Amitabha Buddha, Amitabha, or Amida Buddha, Amida, right? He asserts that the Nembutsu forms the karmic cause for falling into the hell of incessant suffering. On what sutra is this based? I would like to ask Nichiren what reliable proof he has to justify this statement. This is the second question. He sent the government 6 such questionnaires concerning, in general, whether or not enlightenment can be achieved through the practice of the pre-Lotus Sutra's teachings. If Ryokan of Gokuraku-ji again lets it be known, as he claimed in his appeal, that he desires to meet and debate with me, this is Nichiren talking now, submit a petition to the government requesting a public debate, say to Ryokan, quote, my teacher Nichiren incurred the wrath of the government and was exiled to the province of Sado in the 8th year of Bunei, 1271. In the first month of the 11th year of Bunei, he was pardoned and returned to Kamakura. On his return, he remonstrated with Heino Saimon about various matters and then secluded himself deep in the mountains of Kai province. He has stated that even if he were to be summoned by the emperor or empress, he will never emerge from the mountains to debate his teachings with the scholars of other schools. Therefore, although I, his disciple, am a mere novice and my knowledge of his teachings amount to less than a hair from the hides of 9 heads of cattle, if anyone comes forth to state their doubts about the Lotus Sutra, I will do my best to reply to them. End quote. Then explain my teachings in direct response to your opponent's questions. Moreover, when you must reply to the 6 difficult questions posed by Ryokan's appeal, bear in mind, as I have always said, that Nichiren's disciples cannot accomplish anything if they are cowardly. Now that's really that. This is an intimate letter of scholarship between Nichiren and one of his head disciples. But he's saying something here that he probably wouldn't idly say amongst the crowd of lay believers, because a lot of us would be frightened by the aspect that simply to follow and practice Buddhism would require us to be courageous. That implies that there's something about what we're doing that can ruffle a lot of feathers, that could be difficult. And our lazy nature says, well, I don't know, maybe I can find something easier to do. So, but to this person who's an inner circle, I will say, he's not ashamed or afraid to say it. And in fact, he's saying that in so many words, he's been saying this all along, but he may not have said it so directly. He continues, as you debate the relative superiority and depth of the Lotus Sutra and other sutras, and whether or not they lead to enlightenment, remember that even the Shakyamuni Buddha described in the pre-Lotus Sutra teachings or in the theoretical teachings of the Lotus Sutra is no one to be in awe of. Even less so are bodhisattvas at the stage of near-perfect enlightenment. Followers of schools based on the provisional teachings are of still less account. As you debate, bear in mind that because we embrace the Lotus Sutra, our position is like that of the great heavenly king Brahma, and it is not at all wrong to regard those who hold lesser teachings as our subjects or even as barbarians. Now, there's one little mic drop in the middle of that discourse that you may have caught that may rattle you. When he says that the Shakyamuni Buddha described in the pre-Lotus Sutra teachings or in the theoretical teachings, the first chapters of the Lotus Sutra, is no one to be in awe of. Ooh, you don't hear that in his regular daily letters, do you? But this is a statement made in the sphere of absolute strict Buddhist scholarship. And so let's think about that for a minute. What does that actually mean? So I'll pause for a moment, as I'm sure he'll go deeper into it here in a moment. We know, and certainly if you've been watching my videos, you should know by now that Buddhism was taught at incrementally in order to bring people's understandings and cultivate their understanding and their capacity to understand complex relationships in their own mind and body, mind and environment. That Shakyamuni really set himself up as a straw man Buddha. In other words, this is a man who was born a man, who studied deeply, dedicated himself for years, and then attained Buddhahood as a man. This is a very, very important lesson that gets glossed over a lot. So that Shakyamuni, that newly named person of the Shakya clan, who is a great saint or great bodhisattva or great teacher, Muni, Shakya Muni, is an appellation given to him as a man who has achieved a state unknown to normal men of enlightenment, Buddhahood, Buddha-ness. And so as he teaches people how to attain the Buddha-ness just as he has, he assumes a human position of teacher. And in that position, he walks his students through the process of inculcating insights to the point in the second half of the Lotus Sutra where he says, now do it and become the enlightenment that I have achieved. But until that point, he, Shakyamuni, of these provisional teachings, is not the fully enlightened Buddha. Do you see how that makes sense? Because as the Buddha who teaches these lower states to slowly build the understanding, he is a representation, a lower representation of what it is to achieve that enlightenment. Because the teacher is the teaching. Because the teaching is the teacher. This is critical to understand because it applies to you and I as well. As I've said many times, when we learn things, when we achieve insights, it's not because we're hearing it from someone else. It's because we're processing it in our own minds. We are the teacher. And the tools offered to us by bodhisattvas, great leaders in facilitating our self-teaching, give us guidance so that we can focus our self-teaching at the level of that guidance. But if that guidance isn't at the complete pinnacle, because we're not able to understand it yet, or if they are at that pinnacle and trying to understand, teach or give us guidance in that, and we don't have the capacity to achieve it, then our perception of Buddhahood, enlightenment, is not complete. It is provisional. It is still kind of a goal that we're shooting after, not something we can actually awaken, invoke, and experience. This does not happen throughout the decades of teaching until the Lotus Sutra, and more specifically, the latter chapters, specifically the lifespan chapter, but the chapters surrounding the lifespan chapter and later are about enacting this enlightenment, how to live in it and then therefore become bodhisattvas in our knowledge and our guidance to others. Do you see? So this is why Nichiren says, understand that these teachers who have decided to stop at the Virmalakirti or the Lankavatara or have written their own treatises only using certain sutras and relegating the lotus to an inferior stature, they're playing in that realm of the provisional Buddha. They're not supplying the guidance for those practitioners to achieve their Buddhahood now in this life. They're denying that that exists. This is why they're the greatest enemies, if you will, of the teaching of Buddhism, because they're cutting it off. Follow? So in debate, Nichiren is saying, look, I'm not afraid of saying it. Even the Shakyamuni Buddha, the exemplar of the provisional teachings, is no one to be in awe of. Well, he can say that because once you get to the central teachings of the Lotus Sutra, that blows away anything before. Not that everything that was taught before wasn't revolutionary. It's essential to understanding the ultimate goal. But the ultimate goal is the ultimate goal. Everything else just helps you to get there. You see the point? So, he goes on. The adherents of the precept school do violence to the precepts that exceeds even the devastation of a crumbling mountain or a flooding river. Far from attaining Buddhahood, they will not even be reborn in the world of human or heavenly beings. The great teacher Miao Lo states, quote, if one observes but a single precept, one will be born as a human being. But if one breaks even a single precept, one will instead fall into the three evil paths, end quote. Who among Nisho's followers, Ryokan, in the precept school embraces even one of the prohibitions set forth in the observance of the precept sutra, not even the lotus. The meditation on the correct teaching sutra and the other sutras, or truly observes the rules of discipline expounded in the Hinayana and Mahayana sutras, such as the Agama. Without doubt, they are all destined to fall into the three evil paths, or sink into the hell of incessant suffering. How pitiful they are! You should tell them so, and reproach them by citing the Treasure Tower chapter's explanation of what observing the precepts and practicing the rules of discipline truly means. So he's giving Sammy Bo an actual example of how he needs to be courageous. He needs to be in such a place of confidence, in other words, that he can demonstrate to these people this Rokyan's appeal, for one thing, but anyone who speaks of it strongly, to admonish them for their arrogance in proclaiming this inferior teaching to be superior. And then quoting the Lotus Sutra itself as proof. This isn't just me saying it, I'm backed up by scholarship here. How can you fail to recognize this scholarship? It is, after all, what you claim to be practicing. So that's a powerful debate device and response, and requires deep confidence. And confidence comes from what? Knowing. You can bluster a lot and look confident, but if your confidence is not based on actual scholarship, actual fact, then your words will fall short. Then he goes on, pausing briefly, dramatic effect. Tell them that the five characters of Myoho-renge-kyo, the heart of the essential teaching of the Lotus Sutra, contain the benefit amassed through the countless practices and meritorious deeds of all Buddhas throughout the three existences. Then, how can these five characters not include the benefits obtained by observing all of the Buddha's precepts? Once the practitioner embraces this perfectly endowed, wonderful precept, he cannot break it, even if he should try. It is therefore called the precept of the Diamond Chalice. Only by observing this wonderful precept have the Buddhas of the three existences become Buddhas endowed with the three bodies, the Dharma body, the reward body, and the manifested body, which are each without beginning or end. We've talked about that. The great teacher Tendai wrote of this, quote, in the various teachings, he, the Buddha, kept this secret and did not transmit it, end quote. Now, in the latter day of the law, any person, whether wise or ignorant, monk or lay believer, or of high or low position, who embraces Myoho-renge-kyo and practices it in accordance with the Buddha's teaching, cannot fail to gain the fruit of Buddhahood. For precisely this reason, in reference to the votary of the Lotus Sutra in the impure and evil age after the Buddha's passing, the sutra declares, quote, such a person assuredly and without doubt will attain the Buddha way, end quote. On the other hand, those who practice the provisional teachings, against the admonition of Shakyamuni, many treasures, and the Buddhas of the Ten Directions, will definitely fall into the hell of incessant suffering. Now that so wondrous a precept has been revealed, none of the precepts expounded in the pre-Lotus Sutra teachings or in the theoretical teaching have the slightest power to benefit people. Since they provide not the slightest benefit, it is totally useless to observe them even for a single day. So that's quite a powerful rebuttal. Tells you a lot about the status of the Lotus Sutra in the scholarship in its entirety of Buddhism, doesn't it? And also why Nietzsche would be such a champion of it, because he alone in the country at in his day gets this insight, perceives this correctly, as did the teachers like Tendai and Malo and Dengyo before him. Let's see where we are on time. My mouth is so dry, it feels like I've been doing this longer. Well, we've got a little bit more to go. What do you think? Let's go on. At the time when the wonderful precept of the essential teaching is to spread, there will be doubtless omen. There will doubtless be omens never witnessed in any previous age. This is what I was alluding to in my preface. The great earthquake of the Shoka era and the huge comet of the Bunei era, were two such signs. But who among our contemporaries, what school of Buddhism, is actually propagating the object of devotion and the sanctuary of the essential teaching? Not a single person carried out this task during the 2,220 years and more following the Buddha's passing. Now, more than 700 years after Buddhism was introduced to Japan, in the reign of the 13th Emperor Kimei, the great law, never heard of in previous ages, is spreading throughout Japan. How reassuring it is to know that not only the people here, but those of India, China, and the entire land of Jambudvipa will be able to attain Buddhahood. Concerning the teaching, practice, and proof that I stressed earlier with regard to this great law, Myoho Renge Kyo, the latter day of the law possesses all three, just as the former day of the law did with regard to Shakyamuni's teaching. Superior practices, the leader of the bodhisattvas of the earth, has already made his advent in this world. So the great law, the essence of the Lotus Sutra, that was entrusted to him, will spread without fail. For all the living beings of Japan, China, and the other countries of the world, it will be an event as rare as seeing the Adambara flower blossom to herald the advent of a gold wheel-turning king. In the first 42 years of his preaching life, as well as in the 14 chapters of the theoretical teaching of the Lotus Sutra, the Buddha kept this great law secret and did not teach it, expounding it only in the revelation portion of the essential teaching. I have heard that when the priest Rokyan knew I was far away in a distant province, he told everyone how he wished I would hasten to Kamakura so that he might debate with me and dispel the people's doubts. Demand to know if praising oneself and disparaging others in this fashion is one of the precepts his school practices. What is more, when I actually did return to Kamakura, Ryokan shut his gates and forbade anyone to enter. At times, he even feigned illness, saying that he had caught a cold. Tell him, quote, I am not Nichiren, but merely one of his disciples, though I speak with a bit of an accent and am rather dull-witted. I fully agree with his assertion that the precept school is traitorous, end quote. When in public debate, although the teachings that you advocate are perfectly consistent with the truth, you should never on that account be impolite or abusive or display a conceited attitude. Such conduct would be disgraceful. Order your thoughts, words, and actions carefully and be prudent when you meet with others in debate. Wow. So he gave him some very strong assertions to make. And now he's saying, but when you make those assertions, be respectful. Don't be as I would tend to be. don't relish too much your obvious winning of an argument. Simply state it. And this is important because you got to remember the nature of this debate is public. So the way that he's perceived, even though he may be very eloquent, and he is given that credit, eloquent and precise and correct in his argument, if he looks a little too flippant about it, the people in the audience will read that more than his proof. They will be looking for him to look like he relishes his correctness a little too much. It's stupid and silly, but this is human nature, right? So Nietzsche is cautioning him. Have supreme confidence that you know what is correct, but don't let it be seen and heard in your voice that you're flippant about it. Take, in other words, pride in the fact that you're right, but don't be arrogant about it. Don't put somebody down for being wrong. Simply show them the error and let them arrive at the correctness. Do you see what I mean? Don't disparage someone because they don't know. Just correct them, assuming that they will get it when you give them the correction. Assume dignity. These days in our world, that's a very difficult thing to do, let alone to witness, because you don't get very many examples of it, right? Okay, well, with that, we come to the end of this Go Show. It is a meaty one, and I hope that you see in it not only the strength of the communication and the bond and the teaching ability of the Sangha from the Nichiren to his disciples and how to conduct themselves, but also sources of study. He dropped a lot of references there that may have piqued your interest. So use it as the foundation of doing a little more research for yourself. And on that note, fellow student, Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, thanks for being here. Thanks for your support. Thanks to Georgina for her wonderful contribution she recently made to this podcast, to this endeavor of mine. Truly, truly appreciate your support, Georgina. To all be well. You know where you can support me. These videos are all transcribed into podcasts now, so you can just download them and listen to them. If that's an easier way for you to study, that's great. My podcast, The Buddhahood Podcast, all three words, The Buddhahood Podcast is available just all over the place. So I encourage you to use that resource if that works better for you or in addition to. In the meantime, I'm going to go back to chanting. I think I need some Daimoku today. I'm a little low energy. take care, and I'll see you in the next one. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo.